One of the things that I think makes us unique as well is that we're in the cattle business, and most of the people work here are in agriculture and raising some kind of livestock. And so we use a lot of the products that we manufacture for our farm and sell it to other customers, and it kind of gives them a little bit more confidence in what they're doing. If it's what we're doing, it's probably what they need to be doing.
Here in A Fork in the Road, if we've learned anything about livestock, it's this. Happy, healthy animals make for the tastiest burgers, bacon, and other protein. So, to any livestock farmers listening, do us all a favor and only feed them the good stuff. In Madison, Georgia, one historical feed manufacturer has made that philosophy their mission.
I came from the mud, there's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree, there's roots where I stand.
I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each episode, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. Today, we're headed about 40 minutes south of Athens to the charming town of Madison, Georgia. This place is full of history and good fortune. It's known by historians as one of the few towns that General Sherman didn't burn down during his infamous March to the Sea.
Well, the depot, that's actually the oldest brick depot in the state of Georgia that we, and we have some of our offices in there, and I'm not sure the exact story because you hear so many different versions of it, but Sherman came through and did not burn our depot. So that's the oldest brick depot in the state right there.
That's the voice of Wayman Hunt. He's the owner and CEO of Godfrey's Feed, a feed manufacturing plant in the heart of downtown Madison. This place has been helping farmers since the 1800s. Wayman is a sixth-generation farmer.
Godfrey started in the 1870s. I'm the sixth generation here. My parents started as a cotton and coal warehouse, and my dad and uncle really turned it into what it is today, of more of a feed mill.
Godfrey's Feed has a long and impressive history, and Wayman has many relics of the past to remind him of that history.
It's got to be fascinating to see how this industry has changed over six generations, over 130, 40 years.
It is. You know, I look back at some of the pictures, and we've got a safe down front that it's got notes and bank notes from my grandfather and my great-grandfather in there that are just left over. It is interesting to see the old handwritten ledgers, and there's a lot of history down there. So this is one of the old safes that I guess we inherited, and there's all kinds of stuff. There's some of those ledgers that I was talking about in there.
I know.
You notice the cattle, you see how small the people are kneeling down beside them. That's how small cattle were back then.
Godfrey's Feed is carrying on a proud historical tradition of agriculture. Like the town of Madison, many small cities in America once revolved around their agricultural economy.
It's neat that, this is what all the towns used to be like. You know, there was some kind of a mill, some kind of something in town that was agricultural, whether it was a cotton warehouse or feed mill or whatever. And this one's just, I guess we've been fortunate enough to stick around that we're still right here in the middle of town. So it's a different feel for sure.
Like most small farms that have stood the test of time, Godfrey's has had to transform over the years because the agricultural industry is always presenting new challenges.
I mean, when the boll weevil came into Georgia, a lot of the cotton farmers went out of business and a lot of them went into the dairy business.
Let's pause here and take a minute to talk about that most nefarious of insects, Anthonymus grandis, a.k.a. the boll weevil. Hey, can you guys insert some sort of intense, sinister music here? Native to central Mexico, the boll weevil first began propagating its sinister hordes across southern America in the late 19th century. It entered the country through Texas around the 1890s, and from there moved steadily eastward, leaving trails of decimated cotton fields in its wake. In 1915, it entered Georgia, where it devastated and reshaped not only the cotton industry, but the entire agricultural landscape of the state. It was then that Wayman's great-grandparents, who had been running Godfrey's as a cotton warehouse, decided to shift their entire business model.
And At that point, we transitioned from being a cotton warehouse into manufacturing dairy feed, and it's grown from there. We manufacture a lot of different feeds, anywhere from show cattle, dairy goats, dairy cattle, regular beef feed, backyard chicken feed, you know, the whole nine yards, swine, deer. We offer most of, if you've got something to feed, we can feed it.
One of the beauties of running a farm with such a strong historical pedigree is the years of experience and rich history that comes with it. At Godfrey's Feed, that history has resulted in lasting business relationships across multiple generations.
You know, it's the older you get, the more you appreciate it. The more businesses you come in contact, the more you appreciate it. You know, it's one of the things that I find really fascinating is the Shirley Feed up in Commerce. My dad and Stone Shirley did business together, and Stone's father did business with my grandfather, and now I'm doing business with Matt. And so there's three generations of Shirley's that have done business with three generations of the Hunts down here. So it's a neat deal.
In the circle of farming, even waste products get put to good use.
So cattle feed mainly is based off of byproducts these days, and most of the byproducts are the result of some process that humans are using the grain for, and then we're using what's left over after the process. And so we're using corn gluten feed, we're using soy hulls. Corn gluten is left over after they make the high fructose corn syrup. The soy hulls are left over after they get the bean meal and the oil out of the beans. You know, we're using hominy, we're using canola meal, soybean meal. Obviously, we're using corn and oats as well, and those are not byproducts, but those are also big ingredients that we use. Cottonseed hulls, whole cottonseed. We're using a lot of byproducts.
A lot of the employees at Godfrey's Feed are farmers themselves, which gives them special insight into what farmers actually need.
One of the things that I think makes us unique as well is that we're in the cattle business, and most of the people work here are in agriculture and raising some kind of livestock. And so we use a lot of the products that we manufacture for our farm and sell it to other customers. And it kind of gives them a little bit more confidence in what they're doing. If it's what we're doing, it's probably what they need to be doing.
Most of the bulk orders done by Godfrey's Feed are tailored specifically for each customer. They work closely with their clients to determine exactly what they need.
Sure, so the majority of what we do bulk is all special order. So a customer calls us and says, hey, or we'll ask them, what do you want to do? What are you trying to get out of the feed? What's your intent? And we will sit down with them, come up with a ration that fits their circumstances, and then manufacture, deliver it to them anywhere. We've got customers that use anywhere from maybe 5 tons a year to, you know, 10 tons a day. Well, more than 10 tons a day. So everywhere in between.
So it's almost like people looking for a particular dog food that works for their dog. You're doing the same.
Absolutely, for cattle and horses, pigs, goats, sheep, the whole nine yards.
Though they do what they can to source everything locally, sometimes they need to go outside the state for feed ingredients.
So we try to buy as much local stuff as we can, just diesel fuel and freight issues. But a lot of our product is coming in here from, you know, as far away as Iowa, down into Florida, probably out into Arkansas, Mississippi, but mainly east of the Mississippi, and like I said, up in Indiana, Ohio, that area.
You want what's best for the final product.
Yes, so we do that. We buy some ingredients from specific sources because we feel like they've got the best products out there, and it helps the consistency of our products when we can have continuity in our supply chain like that. But we also move enough, and the supply is so variable that we do business with, you know, in one individual ingredient, we may do business with 10 or 12 different plants that manufacture the product. So these are some ingredients. I mentioned that there were 8 scales that fed back into the mixer in there. This would be 2 of them. And you got whole cottonseed and cottonseed hulls here, which is what we were You know, we were talking about the byproducts, and obviously those are byproducts of the cotton industry.
To handle all their operations, Godfrey's Feed uses a combination of old and new technology.
We bring these ingredients in from all over the East Coast and unload them here, put them overhead, mix them in our automated batching system here. So this warehouse was built in the 1800s and was originally a cotton warehouse, and now we've kind of put some 21st century technology in there. So all the feed is actually made by computer, and it's run through the process. Bag feed goes outside. We've got some loadout bins there that we put it on trucks. The bag feed comes in here, and this is where we bag it. Unfortunately, right now, the 21st century technology has let us down a little bit. Normally, this process is automated, but we've got I won't call any names, but there's an air valve that's messed up, so we won't throw anybody under the bus on that. But we normally automate this system, and the bags come down. We sell everything in 50-pound bags, and it works its way down the system here. Where they're closed here, we've got a sewing machine. This system will do about 14 bags a minute when we're fully functional, I guess. That'd be our high speed. And we can make about a ton of feed a minute through our system. So we can run with the best of them. I think I counted it up yesterday, and there's 8 different scales that feed back into our mixing system. So that allows us to put multiple ingredients together in the mixer at one time, so we can really get the process going fast. So back here, these are our micro systems. So the computer actually controls these bins here, these motors, and weighs out our hand adds. And the hand adds would be anything that we put in there at like less than 10 or 20 pounds. And so instead of having somebody there that has to physically put that product into the mixer, the computer controls all 22 of these bins and weighs those ingredients out individually, puts them together, then it's carried over it by a drag chain and put into the mixer over there.
There's even one robotic employee of Godfrey's Feed who the whole staff was thrilled to welcome to the team.
We put the robot in 2021, and it has honestly been a lifesaver for us because of the labor situation. There were many times when Montana and Brian and I were back here in Holly, and I don't want to leave anybody out because they get upset with me because everybody pitched in, but there were a lot of times when the office staff was back here actually stacking these pallets because that was all we could do. The robot, though, has changed it. It can keep up with the automated system, and it stacks them perfect every time. I say perfect every time. It'll mess up every now and then.
This robot even shares a name with a person from Godfrey's Feed's past.
So one of my ancestors was Captain Godfrey, J.E. Godfrey, and the ladies here in the office named the robot Captain Godfrey. So this is Captain Godfrey, and Captain Godfrey's spitting out a pallet for us right now. It's been really great, but the whole process is automated from you can see the pallet coming in back there. We're fixing to put a slip sheet of cardboard on top of it. It'll swing around, set it down, and then the system will go back to stacking pallets.
Once the feed is mixed, bagged, and stacked, it's loaded onto trucks. From there, it's off to fulfill its destiny as fuel for hungry livestock all across Georgia.
We do things probably a little bit differently. We manufacture product here, and it is shipped out on trucks. The bulk products can be delivered in 2.5-3 ton increments all the way up to truckload increments. We fill trucks and make routes as the truck fills and get the feed delivered. We also send full truckloads. We sell a lot of commodities direct to farms and direct to other feed mills. And so we're supplying a lot of the byproducts that are used in this area end up flowing through this place in one way or another. So we bag all these feeds. We kind of stage everything along this wall over here. Most of our bag feeds, when they are ordered, they're made within 24 hours of the order, and then are delivered certainly within 48 hours of when the order was placed. So we really pride ourselves on our customer service, and we pride ourselves on keeping these feeds fresh. And so when our customers get something from us, it comes from the mill and it's just been made. So we'll have orders, the bag customers in particular. Obviously we like everybody to get everything in full pallet quantities, but that doesn't always happen. And these guys will stage pallets, mix pallets, where we may put 5 or 10 bags of something on there for the customer, along with some of these complete pallets of one item. And they'll stage everything, so when the trucks get back, typically we're loading the bags on a trailer before the trucks get back. They drop the empty trailer, hook up to the full one, they're ready to go for the next day.
Now that we've seen how it gets delivered, it's time to head to the mixing room to see how this feed all comes together.
Good morning, Terrence. Good morning.
My name is Terrence, spelled T-E-R-R-A-N-C-E, last name Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-O-N.
Mixing these feeds is a careful process. Machines make the work a whole lot easier. But when it comes to adding medications, absolute precision is required. That's where Terrence comes in.
Okay, so this computer works. The guy in the inside of the guy in the inside, he schedules the feed, and he kind of, so whatever feed he schedules, it'll pop up the exact amount that we're going to mix, and it tells me over here on the outside what to do. So no matter if we're mixing medication or anything over there, I have to go get it and pour it up, and it gives it the exact amount and exact weight that I have to pour.
How many times a day you go through this? Does it vary?
So everything don't have to be added. Most of the stuff is just pulled from the bins. So it just depends on if I have to mix something individually, that's the only time that I'll be involved. But I do have to discharge everything that comes through here. When I make a hand add, I have to press the green button to let them know that this is the hand add button, to let them know that I manually added it. But every feed that we make, it's gotta be discharged. The first batch has to be discharged, which this button right here, you press that, it'll light up green, and you press that, it'll discharge it so it can run through.
Terrence, and Terrence actually works, he runs this mixing room in here. He makes sure it stays clean, and he makes sure everybody gets their hand ads added correctly. We've got a computer screen over here that as we manufacture product, it pops up on the screen exactly what hand ads he needs to put. So when we're custom mixing these feeds, we've got the 22 ingredients for the hand ads here, plus another 3 out back, plus these 2 hands right here. And Terrence kind of puts in, especially the medications, because we don't want any contamination with medications. And so we'll actually put those in by hand. And so Terrence looks after that and keeps everything steady in here.
Like I said at the beginning of this episode, better feed means happier and healthier livestock. That means going the extra mile with every ingredient to ensure the highest quality. At Godfrey's Feed, they make that happen with the help of some vintage farming equipment.
So this roller mill is, it's almost as old as the building is, but it's not really. We've had people say that they've never seen anybody get more out of one piece of equipment than we have with this one, but this is our roller mill, and we cook corn in the steam chamber, that stainless chamber above. And what happens is the corn comes in, it'll spend probably 30 minutes in there cooking, and then it'll come through the rollers and it'll flatten it out so that it increases the palatability of the product and it increases the digestibility of the product. We're one of the few places in the Southeast that actually has a steam roller that we're putting in our feed. In the feed yard, they'll make the corn, you know, it'll come out and be the size of a quarter. We're probably a little bit closer to a nickel, because when we start running it through all the equipment, if it gets real thin like that, it'll break apart, and the customers like to see that rolled corn in there. So we kind of have to hit a happy medium between keeping it together, keeping the integrity of the kernel together, and maximizing the digestibility of it.
Godfrey's Feed has a storied history and a long and winding thread to the past, but that doesn't stop them from looking forward into the future.
Putting in some new equipment actually today. We are opening up a retail store on the other side of town, and we've also have a second location in South Georgia in DeSoto that we're shipping feed out of now as well.
The farming business is tough, and there's no substitution for hundreds of years of experience. At Godfrey's Feed, they've got all that and more.
I got a picture the other day of some folks that have been in here working, and between the three of them, it was a really neat picture, honestly, and I bet you there were 175, 200 years worth of experience in that picture, and I'm not exaggerating, because I'd tell you the average age of those guys was pushing 70. But we've had a lot of great people that have worked here, and that's one of the really neat things about this place is we've got a really good team of people that really believe in what we do and really go above and beyond, and I can't thank those guys enough for what they do for the company.
For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the GPB.org website. That's where you'll be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.
We could all use a little help navigating the news these days. The Consider This podcast wants to give you a hand. 6 days a week, we'll help you make sense of the day's biggest news story and what it means for you in less than 15 minutes. Listen now to the Consider This podcast from NPR.